Exodus chapter 3, verse 31. All right, let's read in Exodus 3, verse 13. This is when Moses was over there in the desert. He had married some people, and God told him to go back to Egypt to deliver the people of God. We're going to be reading verse 13. And Moses said to God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" That's what the Lord wants us to be aware of a lot of times. Ask him what we need. Ask him to be with us. Praise the Lord. And God said to Moses, "I am that I am." Notice that that's capitalized, all the whole thing. Capital I, capital A-M, capital T-H-A-T, capital I-M. All of it. That shows how great our God is. Hallelujah. He is the Lord. And if we look at that in another form, it says, I was. He's always been. He's the creator. I was, I am, and I ever will be. Nothing is ever going to come and take the place of God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. These beings will always be for eternity. Praise the Lord. And so he says, "Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am hath sent me unto you." And I want you to look again up there. It's kind of hard to see that up at the top. But it says 100 verses about I am. You might just want to look them up. I'm going to give you quite a few of them today, but I'm not going to give you 100 because it's quite a, we'd be here all day. Okay, so here we are. Praise the Lord. There are many I ams in the Bible. And we're going to turn first. Let's see. Let's go to chapter 6 of Exodus while we're here. And we're going to read verse, in that chapter, we're going to go to verse 2. Here again, God wants to emphasize who he is to Moses, who he is to all of us. Exodus, the 6th chapter, verse 2. God spoke unto Moses, and he said unto him, I am the Lord. He is the Lord, the one in authority, the Lord God. I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name Jehovah was not known unto them. So again, another time that God is saying, I am, I am. He's the creator, the one who has done all things. Now let's go in our Bibles to the book of John over in New Testament time. Hallelujah. We're going to go to chapter 17 of the book of John. We're going to read verse 1. And it says, These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so Jesus Christ, of course, is God also, but there's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of Jesus. So in this chapter, we have him going to Gethsemane, and he prays. We're going to look on a little bit further. Sometimes I goof on my writing, so just be patient. Anyway, we will go ahead and go on from there. But he had prayer in this chapter 17 of John for the people, his disciples and other people who were really in need because he was going to go away. So there is power in the words, I am. He is, that's very significant. Only God is called I am. I'm not am. I am not am, I am, praise the Lord. But the Lord is, glory to God. And so we're going to go now to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at some of these times that the Lord is called the I am. And this will be in Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And we're going to read 1 and 2 first. Now, this was as a verse that is very similar to what we might think the Lord Jesus spoke. Why have you forsaken me, Lord? Notice verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. Then we're going to go down to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, and they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, I trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Praise the Lord. So, going on down to verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Okay. And that's in chapter 22. I goofed, I think, Lord. The Lord knows. It says in this process somewhere here, let me just see. Oh, in verse 6, I am a worm, no man, a reproach of men, and despise of the people. And that's what Jesus Christ went through, as a worm. That's all they didn't account him to be anything important, the evil people who did not believe. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us so much wonderful things to be and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know our Father God as being the great I Am. Let's look at then in Psalm 25, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And it says in verse 20, chapter 25, verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress against our cause. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now, this was King David. But when I think of this and notice what it's being said here, I think that it's very, very significant that Jesus spoke a lot of words like this too. These people that were about to kill him and crucify him, it was a hard thing. And he was speaking, he prayed there to the Father in the 17th chapter of John. He prayed and asked God to be with him and protect him and help him in his situation. So let's now go to verse 15 of this chapter. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Now, it might seem with Jesus Christ, it doesn't seem like his feet got plucked out of the net, really, did it? But the time that he spent was all under God's control. And when it was time for Jesus to say, it is finished, and he hung his head down and died, that was all in the hand of God. It was all in the right way. So notice, as it says there, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. I am desolate and afflicted. Now, in this word, desolate, it means this is the beloved, the Lord Jesus. And it's not to be replaced. He says, I am desolate. There's just a trial that Jesus had to go through. And it wasn't just washed out and God said, okay, just don't, I know you're suffering down there. I'm not going to do this. He didn't say that. He let Jesus die. He let Jesus suffer the way he did. Let's go to Psalm 40. If you would like to do this, just get a concordance or some look in the back of your Bible and see how many times that you can see these scriptures where he says, I am, I am. He is the Lord God of all. And we're going to be reading in Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Now we can say, well, the Lord, that all applies to us. You know, we go through trials and all this. But really and truly, these verses can represent Christ and his resurrection. Who was it that raised him from the dead? It was God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. They raised him. He was literally dead. And he gave up and said that he would stand there and do the will of God regardless of whatever it was. Praise the Lord. And then going down to verse 9, well, we'll go to verse 6. Sacrifice and offering, that is not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, the law is within my heart. That's another thing talking about Jesus. He's saying these words. Yes, Lord, I knew you wanted a sacrifice. It wasn't the kind of sacrifices we'd been doing in the Old Testament. But Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice. And that was so wonderful, an offering unto God. And in verse 8 he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we're going to go down, let's see, to verse 11. It says, withhold not thou thy tender mercy from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. So again, we're seeing the Lord Jesus going through this horrible trial. And in verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up, and they are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. This is what Jesus was bearing. He was bearing all the iniquities of the world, all of the sins, every sin that you and I have ever committed, plus out there, all of the thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people of this world, all of their sins and all of the years since the beginning of the earth, Jesus bore all of those sins. Isn't that something? It's a terrific thing that he did for us. And then there's a little verse again in verse 17. For I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. See, we might think, well, when is Jesus ever poor and needy? Hanging on the cross with no clothes on, all of those things. I mean, goodness sakes, you and I wouldn't want to do anything like that. And yet he had to do those things to save us. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Notice, I am poor. He was the mighty God. Here he's saying, I am poor. Didn't he do that? Yes. On the cross he gave his life for a ransom, a payment. He paid the debt so that he could be born again. We're going to go to Psalm 69. These are just portions of scripture that are Jesus. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. In this one, he says, I am come. Notice in verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire, and that means in mud and clay, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. That's Jesus. We can say that this is suffering, knowing that he was going to go to the death of the cross, and they had mistreated him so badly. They crammed that thorn crown on his head till blood ran down over his face and neck. They were beating him and putting on little clothing items on him and making fun of him. How horrible that to think that our Savior went through all of those things for us. He suffered so much. Hallelujah. So in that 69th chapter, he says, "Save me, O God, from the waters that come into my soul. I sink in deep mire. I sink in mud and clay where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the flood overflows me." There's that "I am" again. It wasn't that God had to beg him and say, "Please, Jesus, go ahead with action. Go ahead now. I know it's been hard, but you go ahead, Lord, and do what I've asked you to do as God your Father." He didn't have to do that. Jesus chose to become the Savior of the world, and it was difficult. It was very hard. As he says in verse 3, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." So these are things that the scripture talks about that just show us how he loves us so much. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, I'm just going to quote this part of this. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." How many of us here today really know how much grace our Lord Jesus has? He had so much grace and so much love for all the world that he would give himself to be beaten and hurt and then nailed on the cross. It was horrible. They nailed him and then put the thing up, and it caused the cross up, and it jolted as it went into the hole. And there's Jesus suffering. And yet when the two prisoners that were on each side, one of them said, "Lord, remember us." He said, "You will be remembered." One of them didn't do it, but the other one did. And he knew what he was doing. This is the salvation that was given to us by the Lord, by his plan to go ahead and suffer that death. That was what they did in those days. The Romans were horrible. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 71, and we're going to go to verse 4. Here again. Now, we know that these psalms are no doubt written by David and by other people, but these are so scriptural as far as what Jesus was going through. In this verse 4, it says, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Deliver me, O God." And verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord." Verse 6, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." And that's so true. That follows the teaching in the New Testament of Jesus being born in Mary, in her body, and how that God was there holding up the womb and making the process where Jesus would be born. Now notice in verse 7, "I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge." The Lord is surely a wonder to me. He is a wonder to me. I hope he's a wonder to every one of us. Every one of us have gone through trials and tests and hard knocks and things, but the Lord is our strength. He is our love. He is our lover. He loves us. We are his children. We are the children of the living God and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. "I am as a wonder." Praise the Lord. I love that. All right. We're going on to chapter 88, Psalms 88. You know, David wrote most of these psalms, and he had a friend named Asaph that wrote some of them. But as I read these, I'm greatly blessed because just to know what the Lord did. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 88, it says, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry." And then going to verse 6. Thou had laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkness and in the depths. And notice in verse 4, we skipped verse 4, but we're going to go back to it. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man, I am as a man that hath no strength. This was the suffering of Jesus Christ. So suffering and terrible pain and everything. Just to begin with, them cramming that crown on his head like that, where blood ran down. It's an amazing thing to me. So he was counted with those who go down to the pit. It looked like he wasn't going to make it. Verse 8, thou hast put away thine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. That's Jesus on the cross. He was shut up. Not just shut up with the speech of his mouth, because he spoke on the cross different things. But what was closed up was the will of God. The will of God was that he stay on that cross, that he be there and bear the sins of the whole world. He bore my sins. He bore your sins. That's why we have salvation. He died for us. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. It's so beautiful. So in that verse 8, I am shut up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He had to fulfill the will of God. I cannot go forth. That means he cannot do anything else because he has agreed to do what God the Father has said. This was a plan before the world began, before everything was created. It was planned that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be the one who would pay for our sins. Oh, hallelujah. What a thing. All right, so we're going to go to Psalm 102. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 102. King David was a man who God really dealt with a lot, and he loved the Lord. And I think that a lot of the saying he's writing and he's saying, he doesn't realize at his point who I am is fully. But when we look back and we say how many times that Jesus was called I am, the one that God had created and was really, really the Lord. So in Psalm 102, verse 1 and 2, hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. Answer me, Lord. He was in a great trial. He needed God the Father there with him. And praise the Lord, God raised him from the dead, didn't he? Hallelujah. Verse 6, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I know quite a bit about pelicans because I lived in Houston, Texas, and we went often to the beach and those kind of things when I was a little kid. And the pelican, I'm like a pelican. Just an old, ugly animal, really. Just really weird looking. But when Jesus came to this earth as a little babe, he took on the human form. He wasn't any longer in his spirit form totally. He was as a human being, having to eat, having to do all of those things that he had to do, and be beaten and be hurt. It's awful, isn't it, to think about. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Even though he was a great I am, he was withered like grass. He'd gone through the trial. He'd gone through the test. He didn't say at the very last, oh, Lord God, Father, I can't stand this. You're going to have to take me off this now. He didn't say that. He's hung right there and went through it until he passed and said, I'm giving my spirit unto God. Okay, Psalms 116. Turn there. Psalm 116. And this is verses 15 and 16 in Psalm 116. Well, this mentions the death of the Lord's saints. And I can tell you this, that no saint of God was ever hurt and punished more than Jesus Christ. The Son of God, imagine, punished. So, number 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Praise the Lord. I hope that is the way every single person here feels about the Lord Jesus and God the Father, is that there'll never be a time that you don't call upon the Lord to help you. Our God is alive. Our God Father, Father God, is up there in heaven waiting for us to come. And one of these days we will if we believe in Jesus. So it's very important that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Praise the Lord. And so in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In the Amplified Version, it says, so the watchers are over them. And I haven't read Amplified recently. That's in my margin here. But it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Do you know that God the Father, it became very dark when Jesus died, when he gave up the ghost. And it was as if God just turned his back. It wasn't because he didn't love Jesus. It was no doubt hurting God a lot. Pain. This is my beloved son. He's dying here for the sins of all of these people down there. And isn't that something? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and will call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, he didn't have to say that twice. I am thy servant. That's what he came here for. He was the servant of God. He did exactly what his father told him to do. And he led many, many people to know the Lord and to become people that would follow. I am thy servant. He says it twice. I am thy servant. It speaks to me. It speaks, I hope, to everybody here. The Lord wants you to be his servant. He wants you to follow him and do what he asks. That's the way it is. And I hope and pray that every one of us can say one of these days, I am the servant of the Lord. Okay, Psalm 142. The book of Psalms has so much in it. We're going to go to Psalm 142 and read here verses 4 through 7. Now again, you could almost say, well, the whole thing seems like it needs to be read, but we might read verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Did Jesus ever do that before he died? Yes, he did. Father, if it be possible, let this thing go from me. That's what he said. But nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that amazing? Each of us needs to learn to be that kind of Christian. Father, whatever you want in my life, that's the way I want it. I want it like you. You have it, Father. Praise the Lord. Verse 3 tells us so much about even how Jesus suffered. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me? Here I am, Lord. I'm doing your will. The Spirit is overwhelmed within me. The Holy Spirit was guiding his path all the time right here while he was a human being. And he says, wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. See, so it's so reading to us that this is Jesus. Of course, David, he wrote this thing, so he had people trying to get his life too, you know. But Jesus Christ went through so much. He laid all of this problem, hallelujah, so hard and everything. Notice in verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Think of what the disciples did. Didn't they care for Jesus' soul? I think way down deep they did. But they were scared to death, and they ran off and hid in that one place over there somewhere and let Jesus die and be dragged up there, except for John. John went up there to that place right there where Jesus was on the, dying on the cross, and he stood by Jesus' mother. And Jesus said to John, you take care of my mother. So it's amazing, isn't it? I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And then going on, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutions, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteousness shall compass me about. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to turn now to the book of Revelation and just look at some of the things over there. Let's go to book Revelation. I studied that a long, long time ago, this lesson, and it's always just meant something to me. So beautiful what the Lord has done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, we're going to see the words I am used here also. In verse 17 of chapter 1, can you turn there? In chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 17. When I saw him, this is John, when he saw Jesus there, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Praise the Lord. That means, let's look also at chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, evermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Notice how many times I am, I am. I am the first, the last. I am, I am. That is a very important portion of the scripture, that he is the great I am. And then we're going to go to chapter 21 in Revelation, and we're going to read beginning with verse 1 of chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then verses 3, and I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise the Lord. So these are promises of the Lord that he has given to us. I am Alpha and Omega, right there. See that in verse 6? I am Alpha and Omega. What does that mean? It means the beginning and the end. Jesus, God the Father, was in the beginning, before it was ever created. You can read in Genesis in the first chapters and see that he created the earth. And then Jesus Christ, of course, is his son. And so Jesus Christ and God the Father are both, praise the Lord, the I am. They are the I am. And the Holy Spirit is in on that too. Praise the name of the Lord. So beautiful. Hallelujah. And we're going to look to chapter 19. Go back to chapter 19 in Revelation. We're going to read with verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now this is Christ. And this is not a literal, real horse. We know that. It's God's thing. And it's showing that he has authority, that he is a leader, and he is has authority. Glory to God. Then verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And that statement, the Word of God, is found in John, the first chapter, and verses 1 through 3. He's called there the Word of God. That's who he is. Okay. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and of his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, praise the Lord. What a thing. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I worship him. I hope everybody here worships him. There's another little thing we're going to look at, and that's the 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 16. This is another saying of the Lord Jesus. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root. I am the root. And that word means I am the source. Jesus is the one that blesses us and gives us this benefit that we have because he died on the cross for our sins. Oh, my goodness. What a thing. I am the root. I am the source that gives you this salvation and the offspring of David. And that's another thing that if you study the word a lot, you'll see how many times Jesus is said to be the son of David. Now, David was that king way back there. King David. But God brought about Jesus Christ as a child of David. He was born in Bethlehem, the place where David lived. That's the way God did it. And even in the time to come, here in this place, this is way late in time as we can look at it forward, about Jesus coming and taking away his people and all this stuff. Right now, this thing, this offspring of David. See, God is still going to honor David because David was the king and the Lord Jesus was there. Hallelujah. And the angels testify that I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I love that. When I was a little kid, we used to sing that song about I am the bright and morning star. It was always special to me because Jesus Christ is definitely that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to sing a song, and if any of you have a need, you want to pray at the altar, you have a need for healing, we pray for the sick here, and we know that the Lord does heal. And so come forward and let us take these things and do these things that God has prepared for us. Hallelujah.